We will interrupt the following program to bring you any late news developments. Columbia brings you romance. Tonight, the famous novel, stage, and screenplay, Pride and Prejudice. And here is Sidney Smith to set the stage for tonight's tale of romance.
Good evening and welcome to Romance. Once again, we are ready to guide you through the pages of one of the world's greatest love stories. Tonight, we bring you Doris Dalton as Elizabeth, who was too proud for love, and Myron McCormick as Darcy, who was too prejudiced for romance. With Ethel Owen as Mrs. Bennet, and Alfred Shirley as Mr. Bennet, in Jean Holloway's adaptation of Jane Austen's famous novel, Pride and Prejudice. Pride and Prejudice is a story based on a certain belief, widely subscribed to by mothers at the turn of the 18th century.
It is a truth universally acknowledged that a single man in possession of a good fortune must be in want of a wife.
The lady you just heard speaking is Mrs. Bennet, wife of Mr. Bennet, of the estate known as Longbourn in England, and mother of five daughters.
Jane, Elizabeth,
Kitty,
Lydia,
and Mary.
Finding a single man in possession of a good fortune for five girls was enough to try the patience of a far more patient lady than Mrs. Bennet. We're going to tell you the story of her second eldest daughter, Elizabeth, but you'll find that all the girls figure in it. Elizabeth Bennet was a beautiful girl, proud, oh my yes, and prejudiced, oh very strongly, against a certain Mr. Darcy. This is why. Elizabeth was at a ball given by a new man in the community, a Mr. Bingley, who appeared quite interested in Elizabeth's elder sister, Jane. Well, at the ball, Elizabeth was sitting out a dance alone when she overheard...
Why are you standing over here by yourself, Darcy? Come on, let me see you dance a few sets.
Thank you, no. You're dancing with the only pretty girl in the room.
Jane Bennet? Yes, she is beautiful, I'll not deny that. But there's her sister Elizabeth sitting over there to the right, who's very beautiful herself. Let me present you to her.
Sorry, old man. She may look all right to you, but she doesn't tempt me. And I'm not in a good enough humor to feel like putting up with young ladies who have no partners.
You can easily see why Elizabeth Bennet became more than a little prejudiced against Mr. Darcy. The next time they came together was an informal party at a friend's. Elizabeth was just crossing the room when...
Elizabeth, my dear, how charming you look this evening. Mr. Darcy, you must permit me to introduce this young lady to you as a most desirable dancing partner.
Thank you, Sir William. Miss Bennet?
You needn't worry, Mr. Darcy. I haven't the slightest intention of dancing. I'm sorry, Sir William. I wasn't moving in this direction in the hope of a partner. I'm a little tired this evening.
Well, surely you won't refuse me.
I suppose I must be the first that ever has, Mr. Darcy. But I'm rather critical of my dancing partner, just as you are. And now, please excuse me.
Miss Bennet, don't you know that it takes two people to fully appreciate a moonlit evening? You shouldn't be sitting here by yourself.
What amazing conceit you have, Mr. Darcy, to think that you could add anything to a moonlit evening.
You don't like me, do you, Miss Bennet?
That's an understatement, Mr. Darcy.
I'm very sorry. For there's something that seems to draw me to you. The room was suddenly empty when you walked out of it. Or perhaps it was my heart. Why do you dislike me?
Oh, Mr. Darcy, I couldn't begin to tell you.
Well, then, I certainly won't force myself upon you any longer. Good evening, Miss Bennet.
Good evening, Mr. Darcy.
Well, Darcy, Why are you walking up and down so late out here? It's almost 3 a.m.
Why are you walking up and down so late, Bingley?
I'm Darcy. Don't you think Miss Jane Bennett is a truly remarkable girl?
Yes. But I haven't been keeping myself awake over that. I've been thinking what a remarkable girl Miss Elizabeth Bennett is.
Oh, I thought you detested her.
I did. But I seem to have become a little mixed up in my emotions.
It's so late, Elizabeth. We really should go to bed.
I know, but the moonlight's so bright.
Elizabeth, don't you think Mr. Bingley is very handsome?
Very.
And extremely clever.
Extremely.
And delightfully charming.
Delightfully.
Elizabeth, you aren't really listening to me at all. What are you thinking about?
How much I dislike Mr. Darcy.
Now, while Jane and Bingley were busy dreaming about one another, and while Darcy was dreaming about Elizabeth, and Elizabeth was thinking about how much she disliked him, Mrs. Bennett was busy settling the lives of 3 of them.
Mrs. Bennett, will you please come to bed? You make me so nervous charging up and down the room that I can't close my eyes.
Well, Mr. Bennett, if you don't care anything about the future of your daughters, I do. I've got to get them married and settled. Good heavens, I have 5 on my hands, and practically no one I know has more than 2 to worry about.
Mrs. Bennett, why not leave that in the hands of Providence for tonight? There's really very small chance of you getting them married at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Jane, of course, will marry Mr. Bingley. Now, Elizabeth, I think Elizabeth must marry Mr. Collins.
Mr. Collins, that unpleasant cousin of mine?
Mr. Collins told me Monday when he arrived for his visit that he wishes to marry and take a wife back with him. I think that may as well be Elizabeth.
Elizabeth isn't in love with Mr. Collins.
Mr. Bennett, I can't wait around for her to fall in love. No, sir, Mr. Collins shall have your permission to speak to her tomorrow, and she will accept it.
All right. May I go to sleep now, Mrs. Bennett?
Yes, Mr. Bennett, you may.
Miss Elizabeth, permit me to tell you that I have your mother's permission for this address. Before my feelings run away with me on this subject, perhaps it would be advisable for me to state my reasons for marrying.
Marrying? Oh, Mr. Collins, please don't say any more.
Miss Elizabeth, please do not interrupt.
Oh.
First, I think that every clergyman in easy circumstances should set an example in matrimony to his parish. Oh, secondly, I think...
And Mr. Collins, please, please don't say any more. I thank you for the compliment you're paying me, but I must decline it.
I am prepared to be refused at first. I shall not let it upset me. I shall ask you again.
It's no use, Mr. Collins. You see, I'm not in love with you.
Oh. You may find much in me to love, Miss Bennett. I have some very sterling qualities. My patroness and esteemed friend, Lady Catherine de Bro, will be most disappointed. I've already informed her of my intentions towards you. She is most anxious to see me settled, and to see her own daughter settled with Mr. Darcy.
Mr. Darcy?
They have been engaged since they were born. Lady Catherine and Mr. Darcy's mother made all the arrangements.
I wish her great joy.
You look unhappy about something. Have you become well acquainted with Mr. Darcy?
No. No, I haven't. And I'm sure I never will. He's the most impossible, vain, egotistical, unpleasant, ill-mannered man it's ever been my bad fortune to meet.
I'm sorry I didn't mention Mr. Darcy sooner, Miss Elizabeth. I would have known then why there is no hope for me.
Mr. Bennett, you will kindly speak to your daughter Elizabeth immediately.
What has she done, Mrs. Bennett?
I've just refused Mr. Collins.
I am not speaking to Elizabeth at the moment, Mr. Bennett, but I expect you to inform her that you insist upon her marrying him.
Well, Elizabeth, an unhappy alternative seems to be before you. From this day, you must be a stranger to one of your parents. Your mother will never speak to you again if you do not marry Mr. Collins, and I will never speak to you again if you do.
Mr. Bennet, this is the grossest insubordination.
Yes, Mrs. Bennet.
Elizabeth, do you want to be an old maid?
I'd just as soon as marry someone I didn't love.
As far back as I can remember, there has never been an old maid in either your father's family or mine. I'm going to be upset, and you don't really want to upset me, do you, Elizabeth?
No, Mother, but I don't want to marry Mr. Collins either. And of the two, having you stop speaking to me would be the lesser disappointment.
I am hurt deeply, Elizabeth. Deeply and gravely.
I'm very sorry, Mother. Please excuse me.
Oh, dear, oh me, oh dear, oh me. Girls nowadays are certainly not as obedient as they used to be.
Maybe just as well, Mrs. Bennet. Now, I shall be glad to have the library to myself, if you don't mind.
At least Jane is not defying me. Jane will marry Mr. Bingley, and then I will only have four girls to worry about.
Miss Bennet! Oh, Miss Bennet!
Mr. Darcy.
We seem to be walking in the same direction.
I can change my direction. I'm just out for a little pleasant air. I've had a wearing day.
I'll change my direction. I wouldn't think of spoiling your walk.
Just as you wish, Mr. Darcy.
This seems to be as good a time as any to say goodbye, I suppose.
Goodbye? I thought you and Mr. Bingley were going to be here all winter.
We had a change of plans. My sister has not been well, and I'm taking her to Italy. Bingley is coming along with us. He and Gladys have... Well, there's been an understanding between them for some time. You follow me, don't you?
Perfectly, Mr. Darcy.
I think they'll be getting married in the spring, as soon as we can work it out. When two people are in love, there's no point in waiting.
Of course not. Especially if one of the people seems to be falling in love with someone else.
You do follow me. You see, Miss Bennet, you have a designing mother. And my sister's happiness is at stake.
It doesn't matter to you, of course, that my sister Jane's happiness is at stake, too.
I shall be very sorry if this causes her pain. But after all, she and Bingley have not been acquainted very long, and there has certainly been nothing serious between them.
Mr. Darcy, I've met some thoroughly despicable people in my day, but no one that can hold a candle to you.
And I've met some shrews in my day, Miss Bennet, but never a more bad-tempered one than you.
What right have you to interfere in other people's lives? Why should you persuade Mr. Bingley to leave when he and Jane think so much of one another?
If he thought so much of Jane, he would refuse to leave.
Who knows what lies you've told him to persuade him to go?
I never lie, Miss Bennet. And if I thought your sister and Bingley could be happy, I would do everything in my power to keep them together.
Why don't you just mind your own business?
Because I'm not going to see a friend of mine taken in by a scheming woman. Your mother and sister have set out to trick Bingley into marriage by fair means or foul, and they're not going to get away with it.
That's a contemptible lie.
Is it? Your mother talks too much, Miss Bennet. Much too much for someone after such an elusive thing as a proposal of marriage. She's been telling everyone in the neighborhood that Miss Jane and Bingley were as good as engaged. Well, now that she's made that little bed, she and Jane will have to lie in it. Alone. Now, good day, Miss Bennet. Good day and goodbye. I'm sorry we were never able to get along because I think you're a fine and beautiful woman. Whatever I think of the designs of your mother and sister.
Do you think I care what you think of me?
No, I entertain no such hopes, Miss Bennet. If I ever had any little conceits, you've long since destroyed them. Undoubtedly, that will give you great personal satisfaction.
Goodbye, Mr. Darcy. I hope you'll be very happy in Italy.
If it's any consolation to you, I won't. You see, I haven't escaped entirely unscathed in this fray. I have a few wounds to lick myself. Goodbye, Miss Bennet.
Mrs. Bennet, will you kindly stop that infernal noise?
Oh, my poor Jane, my poor broken-hearted baby. How could any man be so cruel and black-hearted? How could any man go off without a word of farewell after all the attentions he showed us?
Please, you're keeping everyone in the house awake.
How can you be so callous, Elizabeth Bennet? Don't you care that your sister has a broken heart?
Of course I do, but I think it'd be so much better for her and for you and all the rest of us if you'd go to sleep.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
how that man has treated her, going off without even saying goodbye.
He sent a note to you and thanked you for all your courtesies towards
him. A note? Oh! When I think how I felt when that note came.
Oh, eternal perdition.
Mother, please stop crying about me. I'm all right.
My baby, my poor broken-hearted baby.
Mother, I don't want to hear any more of this. It's humiliating and very upsetting. I would appreciate it if you never mentioned Mr. Bingley's name to me again. Come on, Elizabeth. Let's go back to our room. Good night, Father. Mother.
Good night, girls.
Good night.
No! No, Mr. Bennett. Now I've got to start from scratch again. I've got 5 daughters and not 1 husband in sight. I declare I could just cry. I'm that disappointed.
Elizabeth, please don't hum that song.
Oh, sorry, dear. I didn't mean to be annoying.
That's one of Mr. Bingley's favorite songs. He sang it to me at the ball. Elizabeth, I'm afraid I love him very much. I ought to be too proud to admit that. But tonight I don't seem to have any pride. Tonight all I can think is how lovely life was for a few weeks. How lovely it might have been.
Oh, Jane.
You don't know what it's like, Elizabeth. You've never been in love. It hurts so much you want to die, and yet you know you won't die. That you'll go on living with the hurt. And when the hurt finally goes, you'll be completely empty.
Empty. The room was suddenly empty when you walked out. Or perhaps it was my heart.
What are you talking about?
Someone said that to me once.
You never told me. Someone you loved?
Someone I might have loved.
I know who, Elizabeth, I guess. I'm sorry I said that. It was selfish of me. You know far more about how love can hurt than I. I at least had a few weeks of happiness.
I did not say I was in love. I only said I might have been, if I didn't despise him so.
Don't be too proud, Elizabeth. Pride is such a lonely thing when you choose it in place of love.
Pride is all I have, all I've been offered, and all I want. Good night, Jane. I'm very sleepy.
Good night, Elizabeth.
Elizabeth, my dear, that nice Mr. Darcy is in the parlor. He's come to call on you.
Mr. Darcy? To call on me?
That's right. Hurry along, dear. Oh, wait a minute. Let me straighten your hair. Now, run along now. Run along.
Well, Mr. Darcy, this is a surprise.
Good afternoon, Miss Bennet.
You're looking thin and not a bit well. Didn't Italy agree with you?
Not too much, no. Miss Bennet, there is something I must tell you. It's not at all easy. Since you've gone to much pains to let me see how distasteful I am to you. But I love you, and I have to tell you.
Have you lost your mind?
No, only my heart.
You ruin my sister's life, and then you have the nerve to stand there and tell me that you love me.
I do love you with all my heart. And with all my heart, I wished you loved me, too. Elizabeth, will you marry me? I offer you a name of some honor through many generations, security and comfort, and my great devotion.
You surely cannot think that I will accept you. Even you could not have that much conceit.
I hoped you might accept me. Let us put it that way.
Mr. Darcy, I've never asked for your good opinion or your love, and I'm amazed that you've chosen to bestow them on me. There have been a lot of tears shed in this house in the past few months, and you have been the cause of all of them. I assure you that I would marry anyone in the world before I'd marry you.
Forgive me for boring you, Miss Bennet, and for taking up your time. Don't think that you can make me ashamed of my love, because it is above reproach and the best that's in me to offer a woman. But I am ashamed of the object of my love. I thought I was kneeling at your feet when I asked you to marry me. Now I see I was stooping a little. Thank you for refusing me. Forgive me for taking up so much of your time and accept my best wishes for your health and happiness.
No! Oh, Mr. Bennet!
Mother, what is it? Mother!
What's wrong, my dear?
It's Lydia. She's run off with a soldier. Look at this note. Oh, my baby, my poor baby. Married without her mother there. God bless her. Oh, Mr. Bennet, he will marry her, won't he? No soldier would be so low as to run off with a young lady and not marry her, would he?
What do you think, Mrs. Bennet?
No! Mr. Bennet! Oh, Elizabeth, now what am I to do? This will ruin us all. We'll never get any husband.
You have all the law allows, my dear.
Aren't you going to get your horsewhip and go after that man, Mr. Bennet?
Yes, madam, I am, as soon as I can get dressed. Someone should have warned me what marriage can lead to. I might have avoided all this 30 years ago.
No!
Mr. Bennet! Madam, be silent. If Lydia isn't married now, she will be very soon. I'll see to that.
I, Lydia, take thee, Robert, to have and to hold.
Father, I want to talk to you.
Yes, Elizabeth?
When you went up to London and got Lydia married, just how did you manage it?
Oh, there was nothing to it, my dear.
Lydia says you gave them £1,000. Where did you get the £1,000, Father?
From Mr. Darcy, Elizabeth.
Mr. Darcy?
Yes, he came to see me. He'd heard about Lydia, and he said the only way to straighten things out was to give them some money to get them started.
You shouldn't have accepted any money like that from Mr. Darcy. He's not a friend of ours, Father.
Not a friend. He's a friend in need. And if that isn't a friend, I don't know what is. It's only a loan. I'll pay it back, Elizabeth. And I couldn't have Lydia up there by herself trying to work to save up enough money so the two of them could make a go of it.
If only it wasn't Mr. Darcy.
It's a shame that you can't find anything good about Mr. Darcy, Elizabeth. And it's a shame that you resent it when you come face to face with something that's so kind and good, you can't deny it. Are you in love with Mr. Darcy, daughter?
Why does everyone keep asking me if I'm in love with that man?
Maybe because you have so many symptoms.
It takes more than symptoms to make a case of anything with him. And no matter what he does for this family, I'm not going to be in love with him.
All right, Elizabeth, all right.
Miss Bennet, I am Lady Catherine de Bro.
This is quite an honor, Lady Catherine, having you call on me.
Yes, it is. I've come to talk to you about my nephew, Mr. Darcy. I wish to know, once and for all, are you engaged to him?
I am not.
And will you promise me never to enter into such an engagement?
I will not.
Oh. You are then resolved to have him.
As to that, Lady Catherine, I really haven't made up my mind.
Miss Bennet, I am leaving, and I am seriously displeased.
Good day, Lady Catherine.
Good day, Miss Bennet.
Elizabeth! Oh, Elizabeth, darling, Mr. Bingley and I have something to tell you. We wanted you to be the first to know.
Mr. Bingley, how do you do? I didn't dream you were in this part of the country.
Well, I only returned this morning. Will you tell her, Jane, or shall I?
You don't have to tell me anything. It's written all over your faces. I congratulate you both.
Well, I think I wouldn't even have known that Jane cared if it hadn't been for Darcy. I still get shaky.
Mr. Darcy?
Well, of course. He spent all those months in Italy telling me about Jane. I only left, you know, because I couldn't believe she cared. I wanted to try and get over her. But Darcy kept after me week in, week out, saying, "Where's your courage? At least go back and ask her."
We owe Mr. Darcy a great deal, Elizabeth.
Yes, so it would seem.
He's down at the gypsy camp right now, listening to their music. Why don't you go down and see him?
Yes. Yes, I must. Oh, I've been such a fool. I wonder if he'll ever forgive me. Mr. Darcy.
Miss Bennet.
It seems I owe you some apologies and some gratitude.
Please don't speak of them. It isn't gratitude that I want from you, Elizabeth. My Aunt Catherine tells me that she came to see you, and that you refused to promise not to marry me.
It was shameless of me, I'm afraid. But you see, I hoped you might ask me again. And I didn't want to be bound by promises.
And if I did ask you again, what would my answer be this time?
Surely I don't have to tell you that.
You've told me so many unpleasant things. It would be nice to hear something more to my liking.
Why then, Mr. Darcy, if you did ask me again, I'd say thank you so much. I'll try very hard to make you happy. And I'd say I've loved you from the first moment. But I found it very difficult to say so. And I'd say I'm yours now, whether you want me or not, completely and forever.
My darling. My darling. I've waited so long.
I know. We got all messed up in a porridge of prejudice and pride. But it'll be beautiful now, my darling.
It had to end this way. We were for each other from the beginning of time. And we'll always be until the end of time.
I love you, Mr. Darcy. Very, very dearly.
Mrs. Bennet, I'm very sleepy. What are you crying about now?
Oh, Lydia's married, and Jane and Elizabeth soon will be. And we have only two daughters left. Oh, Mr. Bennet, we're going to be so lonely all alone. They'll be married, too, before we're turned around, and I've lost my baby.
Madam, you baffle me completely.
That's because you've never been a mother, Mr. Bennet. That's because you've never been a mother.
Praise God, I never shall.
Amen to that, Mr. Bennet.
Amen indeed, madam. And now, please, may I get some sleep?
Yes, Mr. Bennet, you may. Good night.
Good night.
Mr. Bennet is very tired, and I don't want to keep him awake. So we'll just tell you that everyone lived happily ever after, as was the custom in those days, with no further prejudices and just the right amount of pride. This is Sidney Smith ringing down the curtain on tonight's performance of Romance, a program produced each week by Columbia to bring you the great romantic plays and love stories of all time. Romance is produced and directed by Mark Sloan. Tonight's play, Pride and Prejudice, was adapted for Romance by Jean Holloway. The cast included Doris Dalton as Elizabeth, Myron McCormick as Darcy, Ethel Owen as Mrs. Bennet, and Alfred Shirley as Mr. Bennet. Also heard were Joan Tetzel, Elner Audley, Charles Webster, Burford Hampton, and John Moore. Music was conducted by Ben Ludlow. Next week, at this same hour, over many of these stations, we shall bring you another Romance. Our play will be a well-known comedy, The Boomerang, by Winchell Smith. Till then, till curtain time, next week, this is Sidney Smith saying good night and wishing you love, happiness, and romance.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.